something for the weekend. This is Ireland's Classic Hits, and I'm delighted to have Nikki Lingwood on the line today. Good morning, Nikki. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great, thank you.
So you were in the Indo during the week. March is Endometriosis Awareness Month, and you basically shared your story. Why did you decide to share your story and also to email me?
Yeah, I think sometimes when I look at the picture of my endo belly in the paper, I ask the same question, why did I share? I said because of the fact that it's an illness that personally for me, it's had a massive impact on my life. And I think there's just not enough awareness out there. And because it's Endo Awareness Month, I kind of just wanted to do something. I've been struggling for the last couple of years myself. And I'm not the type of person really who can sit around and not do anything, and I felt a bit helpless. I kind of wanted to do something, so Yep, lockdown, boredom, and just said, right, let's see what I can do to raise awareness.
So tell us your story, Nikki. How did you realise that there might be a problem, or when did you realise that?
My symptoms, in hindsight, when I look back, things are never normal. You know, from the very first period that I ever had, things weren't normal, but I didn't know. So I would have been quite late starting, maybe around 15. And I didn't realise. I thought that the level of bleeding that I had was very normal. It's not something that you really talk about, particularly, you know, when you're a teen, you have, you know, reservations about discussing it. You don't really talk about it with your friends. And also because I was late, all my friends had kind of already gone through the talking about it stage. So I just kind of went through it. So then my first kind of real notion that it wasn't normal would have been around 2007. The bleeding had got progressively heavier and heavier, and just really challenging to manage. And with my job as a personal trainer, it had got to the stage where I would teach a spin class and have to stay seated on the spin bike for fear that if I stood up, what was actually going to be left behind on this.
This story is going to resonate with so many people listening. I know the men are going to be going, oh God, what are they talking about this for?
See,
this is
thing.
Real life, isn't it? This is real life.
But see,
it can happen
thing.
To school
so
kids as well,
feel.
Where they get to the end of a class and they're worried about standing up in case they've had a leak. Mm-hmm. And it's all due to this.
Exactly.
Very, very heavy and periods.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very embarrassing, and they're made more embarrassing by the fact that it's not talked about. You're made to feel like you're not supposed to talk about those things. And if you do, you're doing something wrong, and you're not. It's a natural bodily function. Now, having said that, I don't go around telling everybody, but if I have a condition that is debilitating and that is going to cause me the amount of pain and the discomfort that I've been through, you know, if you've got diabetes, you're openly able to say to somebody, I've got diabetes and I need to take my medication, or, you know, if you've got asthma, I need to take my inhaler. But this condition, you don't really get to say that. You hide it, and you really do spend a lot of time hiding the anxiety.
Yeah.
That's behind that.
And there's
really
so many women, Nikki, as well, who wouldn't even occur to them to maybe mention it to their GP. They just go about their life because they think this is the normal. So that kind of heavy bleeding is not normal. Am I right?
No, totally not. I think that the general rule of thumb, for bleeding, there, you know, if you can even Google, you know, you'll have an idea of how much. But again, we don't know what is normal. So that, you know, if you're having to change your sanitary products within an hour, you know, there's a problem. You shouldn't be actually doing that. I didn't know. I really genuinely thought that was normal until I was in my late 20s. So I didn't even know there was an issue. I just thought that's the way it is.
Now, you had a daughter, though. How old were you when you had your daughter?
So I was 19. So thankfully, everything happened for a reason. So at 19, I decided that I wanted to have a baby. Now, again, hindsight's great, because now when I look back, there must have been a reason for it, because I have tried recently to conceive, and unfortunately that didn't work. But yeah, I had my daughter when I was 19, so I was able to conceive. But with endometriosis, the longer it's left and the more surgeries you have, unfortunately, for treatment, the bigger of an impact it will have on fertility. So at 19, it's possible that the endometriosis was there. I didn't know, but it wasn't severe enough to be able to cause me issues with conceiving. And then there's another, I'm not really sure whether it is a myth or whether there is actual science-based evidence, but the hormones that are involved in pregnancy actually suppress endometriosis. So within the time that you're pregnant and post-pregnancy, particularly if you breastfeed and that type of thing, you will actually get a lot of relief. It's something that's actually told to you when you go to the doctors.
Yeah.
If you are considering conceiving, go ahead, try and get pregnant, because that will relieve your endometriosis.
Yeah, a friend of mine was told that, have another baby. That was exactly what she was told to do. What age then did they figured out it actually was endometriosis?
The only way to actually diagnose at the moment, the only way to diagnose endometriosis is through surgery. my first surgery would have been in 2013. So I would have had laparoscopy and they would have diagnosed there and then. At the same time, they would have found a fibroid. So some of my symptoms would have actually been coming from that as well. So I got great relief because they removed the fibroid and they did what's called ablation, where they laser away endometrial deposits. So I had it on my pouch of Douglas and they lasered it away from there. So I got great relief from that first surgery. Well, first and second, there were two surgeries there. Mm. I had a third surgery then, which would have occurred maybe 5 years later. So symptoms gradually creeped up again. Unfortunately, that's quite common. When you have ablation surgery, it will leave more areas. If you think of it like kind of roughing something up, you're leaving more surfaces that are rough, more scar tissue for the endometriosis deposits to actually attach to. So the chance of it reoccurring are very high. So yeah, I had another surgery to remove more endo and they found it in a different place this time as well.
And then everything, you were kind of back to square one, were you?
Yeah. So after the first surgery, good bit of relief. 3 years in, started to notice symptoms again, but this time more bowel related. Unfortunately for me, the second time around was probably worse than the first time around because the first time I actually didn't know what was causing the issues. So I did backwards and forwards, like a lot of women in the same position. A lot of us through endometriosis advocacy groups and things will all, any endo warrior will talk to you very openly about their journey, but it's all the same. We all have the same story. It's exactly the same thing over and over again. Bowel issues, you're told you've got IBS, Crohn's disease, appendicitis, all these things are listed all before endo. They don't come to you and say there's a possibility that you have this condition. They'll try and find every other thing, remove people's organs sometimes that don't need to necessarily be removed, and then eventually they realize actually they've got endometriosis. So the second time around for me was probably more frustrating because I knew, I definitely knew that it was endometriosis, but I kept saying it and I kept saying no, it's more likely to be Crohn's or a gastro condition.
So I was alarmed when I saw that it's 1 in 10 women who have this, and yet they wait 9 years before a diagnosis. Mm-hmm. Well, I say they wait, it's other people, I guess, not diagnosing it properly as well. And the faster the diagnosis, the better, really.
Definitely. And from a fertility perspective, definitely as well. Had I known back then what I know now, and a lot of it was through my own research, I can't say that I think that I could have conceived again, but there is definitely some part of me that says I didn't have the information, I didn't have the tools to make an educated decision about a condition that has definitely had an impact. So I do think it's really important to raise awareness, and I think it's really important that young females are told. The daughter that I had at 19, she's 22 now. You know, for her, she's been through it with me. She's seen what I've been through. She's very educated. But I would say friends of her age wouldn't have a clue, really. They don't know what it is. And it should be taught. They, you know, as young females, you need to know what's normal and what's not.
Absolutely, yeah. So,
yeah, I do think there needs to be more awareness. There needs to be, possibly even in schools, you know, we need to be taught as females what your body is supposed to do and what your body's not supposed to do, so that then you can actually make an educated decision and not leave it so long and push for your own treatment. I thought it was just normal. And because I thought it was normal, I didn't really do anything. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why it takes so long to diagnose. Women don't come forward. They suffer in silence.
So Nikki, you did want to have another baby. Is that out the window now?
Yeah. So we spent 4 years really trying. And that's another issue with endometriosis. The jury's out as to whether it affects, well, not for me, the jury's not out. I've made my decision that it definitely does, but the jury's out as to whether it does affect your fertility. Through my own research, and a lot of the research that I come across would be from America, there's a lot of research being done at the moment, new research that we don't actually have access to here in Ireland. The Endometriosis Association of Ireland is very good. They put up as much information as they can, but that's about it, really. That's the level of resource that we have here to be able to find out. So yeah, from a fertility point of view, it's too late, really. I'm 42. We've done everything that we can do, every fertility treatment that you can think of, and no luck. So it's now time to focus on the endo, because unfortunately you can't do both at the same time. A lot of endo treatments would affect your fertility. So you'll put on contraceptive medication and told basically that that's going to fix you, but it doesn't. The endo, you still have endometriosis. It's just being masked.
Yeah.
So a lot of the time people don't realise, or women don't realise, that if they put it off and they don't address the fertility issues, by the time that they go to conceive, it's too late. The damage is already done. But that's something that I really am passionate about, making sure that people understand they have to educate themselves. If you're told that you've got a condition that possibly could affect your fertility, there are still things that you can do. I wasn't told that. So, you know, we're at the stage now where we just have to accept it. It is what it is. And I'm so grateful at least I did. Like I say, everything has to happen for a reason. At least at 19, yeah. I did something right. I'm so grateful that I do have my daughter. It would have been lovely to have another child, but no, that bit's done.
Yeah, you got to be a mother. Your fertility has a sharp decline after the age of 35 anyway. So, I mean, some might say, well, if you were trying from the age of 38 to 42, maybe there would have been a chance that you couldn't get pregnant regardless of the endometriosis. Do you think that, yeah. that could be the case too?
I do. I think that's a fair comment. Like I say, the only problem is, had I known that I've had the condition for a long time, had I known way back in 2013, I possibly could have had the opportunity to, you know, there's so much that you can do these days. So I would have had eggs that maybe would have been viable that I could have used in my late 30s. So I could have gone on to had the eggs frozen at that age, had I known that that was an option.
Yeah, be proactive.
Yeah, and I do think that's very important. I don't think women think about it. It's a very hard thing to deal with, trying to battle with that. Is it because I left it too late? And could I have done this? Could I have done that? I don't have any bitterness or I don't have any bad feelings. The only thing, I just wish I would have been more educated. Mm-hmm. Had I been educated, then I could make an actual educated decision. My decisions were based on lack of information. I didn't have the correct information.
For any women that are listening right now, Nikki, and particularly, I suppose, women who have teenage daughters as well, what would you be saying to them? Because certainly when I was growing up and a teenager, we just never talked about that kind of thing. And it's probably something we definitely should have. What would you say to them to have the conversation with their daughter?
I don't think we've progressed enough. I literally have just had, since the article, I've had people contact me. People with endometriosis, women with endometriosis will be very open. We're all extremely open. So the amount of conversations I've had over the last day with random strangers who are discussing what cycle day they're on, what their symptoms are, and we're very open. I think it needs to be more normalized. And I think as young females, we need to be educated on what is not normal and what's not normal. So that might not be up to necessarily your parent, because your parent might not have that information. So your mother may have had a completely normal cycle. Endo isn't actually hereditary. Just because your mother's periods are a certain way doesn't necessarily mean that yours are going to be normal. Opening up that barrier, making sure that it's not taboo. That doesn't mean that we all have to go around discussing where we are on a monthly cycle, but feeling like it's okay, being okay with talking about it and sharing. You know, as I said at the beginning, me posting a big picture of my endo belly, I probably am looking at it now going, why did I do that?
What's an endo belly though?
People do need to know. An endo belly. Okay, so there's a picture of my normal stomach, my normal shape. Within a matter of hours, I can get what's called a flare-up. So an endo belly basically is where you've had inflammation and the inflammation becomes chronic and your stomach swells. Yeah. It's ironic because you actually look like you're 3 to 6 months pregnant. You know, people don't believe it. People don't actually believe that that happens, but it does. Yeah. So that's one of the reasons why I started documenting my own journey, and I sent the pictures in, because I just think people need to understand that that's what happens. And as a personal trainer myself, I know that people think I look a certain way. So I thought it would be really good to be open and honest about the way that my belly actually looks when I do have a flare-up. Yeah. And the difference is, you know, it's unbelievable.
Because as a personal trainer, you don't want people looking at you and going, look at the size of your one there, and she's trying to tell us what to do and she's got a belly on
her. Yeah, exactly.
It's not fat.
Yeah, exactly. And I think for me, actually, is because of my job, I'm very, very open with my clients, and I do try and teach women that I'm training. You know, you have to be aware, even without endometriosis, as a female, you've got to be aware that you have extra organs in your body. There's not as much space in there as there would be for a male that would be training. You can't expect to have the same results. We do fluctuate on a monthly basis. Unfortunately for people with endometriosis, you fluctuate on a daily basis or on a, you know, weekly basis. But, you know, most females will experience a bloat around the time of their menstrual cycle. With endo, it's extreme. But yeah, we need to be aware of that as females. We can't always have a perfectly flat stomach, and it's not realistic. It's about setting those realistic goals and then working with your body and knowing that you're a female. You will actually have those changes.
Well, Nikki, thank you for sharing your story today and some good advice there for Anne. anybody who thinks that they might have these symptoms and they've just put it down to being, oh, I just get a heavier period than probably most people, or maybe they don't even realise they do. This can have serious effects down the line when you want to go have a baby, or maybe you want to, you have a bit of a gap as well and you want to have a baby in later years. There's a lot to think about, isn't there? So definitely go to your GP, get checked out, and if you're not happy with what they have to say, get a second opinion.
Second opinion, and definitely I think self-advocate, because there's a lot of resource out there. You just have to put the effort in. I've just completed a study that's being done with NUI Galway. So I was involved in a study there, and they are trying. They really are. There's a doctor there, Siobhan Kelleher. She organised a study. They're trying to actually develop a new device that will detect endometriosis without having to go through surgery. There are things being done. The awareness is being raised. It's just about making sure that we all participate in educating ourselves as well as females.
Did you mention a website that people can have a look at for info?
Yep, so the Endometriosis Association of Ireland, it's just endoireland.ie, and then the study that I was involved in as well, that would be through NUI Galway, and they are actually looking still for volunteers. So I did a month where I actually monitored my symptoms and filled out forms and then gave them information on my pain levels. So they would be looking for volunteers, healthy and endometriosis, because they will need obviously a baseline study group as well. So yeah, you can contact them through it's silver@nuigalway.ie.
Well, Nikki, thank you very much for sharing your story today. I hope you keep well and it becomes under control. And look, I know you haven't had the second baby, but isn't life great when you're a mammy and you have your daughter and she's well and loves you and life is okay?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it is. And there's lots of other things to be able to look forward to. And like I said, I'm filling my time with doing this, spreading awareness about endo. That'll keep me satisfied for now.
Yeah, I bet you never thought you'd be on the radio talking about your period.
That's what I mean, yeah. I'm like, of all the subjects that I could have actually chosen to be able to go and talk about, it has to be this one. There we go. I hope it does the trick.
I love the honesty. Nikki, you're very good. Thanks so much for taking our call, and take care.
No problem at all. And cheers. Thank you very much for asking me on.
This is Something for the Weekend. It's Ireland's Classic Hits.